There are just a few verses, four verses in all, in the prophecy of Haggai. The little book of Haggai, third book from the end of the Old Testament, chapter 2 and the last four verses. The third book from the end of the Old Testament, the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 20. And the word of the Lord came the second time unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet ring. For I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. And I especially want to underline that 23rd verse and these words, In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, I will take thee and will make thee as a signet. In that day, I will take thee and will make thee as a signet ring. For I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Perhaps this word's not the easiest kind of word to give, especially on a sticky morning. But I have no doubt, firstly, as to its importance, and secondly, as to the fact that I believe God wants to say something to all of us, and especially perhaps to some of us. And so without any further ado, I will go straight to the matter. The signet ring is a symbol of authority. It is the symbol of executive authority. Because in the old days, a signet ring had upon it a seal. And you used to take off the signet ring because it was normally only those who had real authority and power, and any letter or any particular parcel or anything that was going, first there would be the wax and then there would be the signet ring imprinted so that there for all to see was the seal of authority. So when the Lord was speaking to Zerubbabel, one of the great characters in the last part, the closing era of Old Testament history, that man whom God used to rebuild the house of God in Jerusalem and to lead back the first great company of those who returned to Jerusalem and to the land. When God said to him, Zerubbabel, I will make you in the day when everything falls to pieces in the world, I will make you as a signet ring. I will take you and I will make you as a signet ring, for I have chosen you, saith the Lord of hosts. And the first thing I want to underline is this, that we have here the clash, if you like, between true authority and false authority. True authority and false authority. We hear that God, in the end, in spite of the fact that all authority is allowed by God and indeed is ordained by God, much of it is built on a false basis and acts according to principles which are not the principles of righteousness. And God says that in the end he will shake everything. It's not that he says the devil will shake everything. God himself says, I will shake everything. And here it is. He says to Zerubbabel, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, authority. And I will destroy the power of kingdoms, or the strength of the kingdoms of the nations. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride them, military might and power and authority. And the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. Now, earlier in this little prophecy, in chapter 2, the Lord had said again the same thing. In verse 6, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." God says that in the end there's going to be a very great shaking. And in that shaking, all false authority will in the end be shaken to pieces. He will overthrow thrones and power and military might. Surely we, as the people of God, are beginning to see this coming to pass in our generation. Certainly some of you who are older, who remember the First World War, will remember that that really was the beginning of the overthrow of thrones of kingdoms, and thrones of kingdoms, I might say, many of which had been in existence for 1,000 years or so. Certainly centuries upon centuries, and were looked upon as something so institutional that nothing on earth could overthrow them. But we have seen it. It began at more or less the beginning of this century and has gathered momentum all the time. And we are seeing it more and more and more now. An overthrowing. In Jeremiah, the Lord says, "I will overturn, I will overturn, I will overturn until him whose right it is to rule shall come." The Lord is shaking. And we are beginning to see that shaking in every part of the world. And those nations, those countries which have been perhaps the most unshakable, the most immovable, I think we can say in many ways our own nation, we are beginning to see things now shaken to their very foundations. God is shaking things. False authority. And what is becoming more and more apparent is this, that in spite of the fact that in this fallen world God has ordained all authority and the higher powers, and we're told to be subject to them, we begin to find out that false authority, worldly authority, is built on the basis of compromise. What a terrible thing it is when we have to see the President of the United States with his arm around some president of the Soviet Union we know is responsible for thousands upon thousands of deaths. But it has to be. There will be no peace, there will be no sort of holding off of things unless there's some form of compromise. And the more shrewd you are, and the more diplomatic you are, and the more able you are to compromise and compromise and compromise and so keep peace, the more you are admired. But that is the authority of this world. It's not built on righteousness, is it? When the Lord Jesus comes, his authority is based on absolute truth. No arms going round anyone. Unless there is a readiness for repentance and a turning away from sin and unrighteousness. The Lord's, all his government is based on truth. And let me say something. There is no such thing as security for human beings unless authority is based on righteousness. In the end, compromise leads to further compromise until finally we are all in a straitjacket. We are in a prison house. False authority and true authority. And in the midst of it all, God has his king. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he is not becoming king. He has been made King of kings and Lord of lords and ruler of the kings of the earth. It's in the past tense. He has become it. God has enthroned our Lord Jesus at his right hand and given him all authority in heaven and on earth. He has made him head over all things to the church, which is his body, and placed all things in subjection under his feet. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We may not see all things as yet outwardly, publicly under him, but the fact is that God has his king. And he has a king who is absolutely worthy to reign. There isn't a blemish, a spot, not anything about the Lord Jesus with which we can take issue. And here is the point of what I'm trying to say. God is preparing true authority. In that day, when everything else falls to pieces, I will take thee and make thee as a signet ring, for I have chosen thee. Dear child of God, have you any idea of your vocation? Do you think God has just saved you to be a kind of little objet d'art, to be placed on some shelf and admired? You think that all you're ever going to be is some sort of sweet angelic being that's sort of part of the drapery of heaven? Is that your idea of salvation? Why do you think God has saved you? Why do you think God has brought you from out of the nations? Why has God so gloriously given you his Holy Spirit? Why is it that he fills you with his Holy Spirit and anoints you with his Holy Spirit? Why is it that he leads you step by step? Why do these trials come to the believer? Why do these inexplicable things come our way? What is the point behind it all? I will tell you. In the day when all false authority is dynamited forever, God will take you and make you as his signet ring because he has chosen you. Authority is a principle. Never forget it. We are living in days in which we can call the crisis of authority. On every single level, the great attack is on authority. Authority on a political level, economic level, social level, family level, every line the attack is on. Who is boss? We don't want a boss. We're told the people will be a boss. Wherever have the people been the boss? Wherever are the people the boss? Make no mistake about it. We're in the crisis of authority. The great assault upon the whole significance and meaning of authority. The head of a home. Out with him. The whole relationship of man to woman. Out with it. The whole concept of human society is based on the family unit. Out with it. The whole concept of being obedient to law and order. Out with it. On every single level, there is an assault upon this whole matter of authority. Do you think that God is one day going to dynamite this whole false thing in this world, capitalist, communist, or anything else, and then leave us in a kind of vacuum? Or do you think that the only authority in heaven is going to be the Lord Jesus? No delegated authority? What a job! If every single thing, right down to the smallest details, the Lord Jesus has got to say, this shall be done, this shall be done, we're going to come to him with small things. I'm not being funny, but I mean almost like, shall the animals be fed, Lord? And what will we feed them with? You know, I'm joking in that way, but do you know what I mean? Are we going to take every petty small thing to the Lord? Is he going to be the only authority in the whole? Never! What God wants to do is he's bringing many sons unto glory. He is making many joint heirs with Christ. He is seeking to bring us into the place where, with the King of Kings, we shall be kings. And isn't that what the Bible says? Doesn't it say that we've been made kings and priests unto God, and they shall reign forever? What is the point of this bride? Oh, one of the most intimate union with our Lord Jesus. But the other side of this bride is that she is a city. And it says the throne of God shall be there. The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be there. And the last words are these, and they shall reign forever and ever. Not they shall live forever and ever, that would be marvelous. Not they shall enjoy God forever and ever, that would be marvelous, it's all true. But they shall reign forever and ever. They shall rule forever and ever. Divine authority delegated at last to a saved humanity. This was God's whole idea in the beginning when he made us in our image, that we might be able to rule and reign for him. He put man in the garden and said, have dominion, subdue it. That was God's whole concept in human beings. Oh, how far short we have fallen from this, and what a terrible work Satan has done in human beings, twisting this whole concept of authority into something avaricious, possessive, ambitious, cruel. We see true authority in the Lord Jesus, who only ever used authority for others. He used authority to heal the sick. He used authority to cast out demons. He used authority to raise the dead. He used authority to cleanse the leper. He used authority to clean the temple for the sake of the true worshipper. He used authority, authority, authority to calm a storm, to feed the thousands. It was all for others, 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 others. Did the Lord Jesus ever do anything for himself? Did he ever use authority to draw attention to himself so that he could be the center? Of course, he is the center and the theme of heaven's worship. But the Lord is the center and theme of heaven's worship because he always did everything for everybody else. Dear Zerubbabel, he could have been such a big noise in Babylon. He could have stayed in Babylon along with all those lovely banking houses and prosperous people of God living with their schools and synagogues and everything else in Babylon. But Zerubbabel left it all. Did he go back to a palace? No. Did he go back to some great prosperous farm? No. He went back to give himself through the grace of God to the building of the house of God and the city of God. Poor Zerubbabel, I suppose he lived his own short span of years. What was he perhaps when he died? 50, 60? I have no doubt it took its toll upon him. And when finally he died, I don't suppose he saw too much. Perhaps he saw the work completed. And it says that when the house was completed, the older people wept and the younger people shouted for joy. There was a mingling of tears and joy together. And I suppose the Zerubbabel may have been one of those who wept. I don't know. But one thing I know, this was this lovely word from the prophet Haggai, who so used of God to keep those people at the work, going on when they were so despondent and depressed and had given up for 16 long years. Then came the word, the final word we have recorded of Zechariah was to this man Zerubbabel. In that day, says the Lord, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and I will make you as a signet ring. For I have chosen you, saith the Lord of hosts. My dear friends, my dear brother, my dear sister, God has saved you with a great purpose. And his purpose is the throne of his son and the government of his son. And don't ever think for a single moment that you can sit in a seat listening to messages or Bible studies and spending the whole of your life as a spectator and in the end sit up on some golden throne judging and reigning over some part of the earth. It's nonsense. The idea so prevalent in Christian circles that every Christian is going to sit on some golden throne with a scepter waving it like a wand. I never heard of such nonsense. And God preserve us from some Christians I know if they're going to reign and rule. I'm not being facetious. The fact of the matter is, some have got hearts like peas. Hearts like peas and spiritual capacity even smaller. Am I to believe that God is going to put them on thrones? My goodness me. The scripture doesn't say it. The scripture says there's got to be a history behind all those who come to the throne. It's something that is voluntary. You never lose your salvation, but you can lose your inheritance. If you are not prepared to go on with the Lord and allow him to deal with you and to train you and to educate you, you will never come to the throne. You will never be put out of the kingdom, but you will never come to the throne. Oh, what a need there is of executive authority. This signet ring is really the symbol of executive authority. It gets things done. In the old days, you know, when nothing could be done without the seal, right down to the squire of a manor, he had to have a seal. That's why they had the signet ring. People wore signet rings, so they could take it off. It gets that done. And anyone can see this is the seal. So-and-so's seal is here. Oh, what a wonderful thing God wants to say to you. He wants to say to you, look here, in the day when I overthrow all false authority, when military might, when the power of the kingdoms of the nations is finally overthrown, when I overthrow the throne of kingdoms, I want to take you. I will take you, and I will make you part of my executive authority. You shall be the kind of person that I will be able to use to get things done. And we don't even know what's going to be done. This is the glorious thing about God. Perhaps he's almost irreverent. May he forgive me. But I find him exciting. I found Christians boring to the... I'm sorry to say this, but as you all must have done, I've never found the Lord anything but exciting. Every time the Lord reveals him, I find myself so excited by him. He's just wonderful. And one of the wonderful things I love about the Lord is he only tells you what he wants you to know. He doesn't tell you everything. He doesn't say, now then, I'll tell you the whole lot. Here it is. He sort of says, I'll tell you this. And I love the things he does tell us. All he tells us, we're going to be married to the Lord. Well, Dad, you just have to think out that one. What does it mean, married to the Lord? What does it mean? We don't know what we're going to do in eternity. But we do know we've got a whole eternity, for it says they shall reign forever and ever. What is going to be done? Is it all going to be a kind of status quo? Nothing's going to change. I don't believe it for a moment. I believe God has got things, if I may put it reverently, may he forgive me again, up his sleeves. He's got all kinds of things that he's kept in the background. He says, I'm not going to tell you these things because I want you to concentrate on things that matter. I want you to give yourself to the priorities. But one of these days, when finally you're with me and you've allowed me to deal with you and to bring you right through all the trials and through the education, through the school of discipline, to the place where you can be as a signet ring, then I will unveil what I'm going to do and oh, how wonderful it will be. If this fallen creation thrills us so with the magnificence of God's creative work, what will it be like when this whole parenthesis of sin has passed away? Oh, I believe there is a need of this need of executive authority. God is seeking to do this with you and with me. He wants us to have the stamp of divine authority. He wants our character to have the stamp of divine authority. He wants our whole beings to have the stamp of divine authority. He wants us to be forever as his signet ring. Of course, using another figure in Scripture, of course, keys are like the signet ring in only another way. They unlock things and lock things up. But it's also getting things done. For the Lord, I will give to thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Oh, there are so many things. Of course, again, we can speak of the name of the Lord. This is just another way of speaking. The name of the Lord is the way we get things done. In the name of the Lord, we get it done. When we ask something in his name, we get it done. And so we could go on. Now, in these days of shaking, of dissolution, of breakup, there is such a need of divine authority. Tell me, dear child of God,
Is the Lord getting anything done in your life? Or are you wasting it?
And that leads me just finally to say this. There is the producing and the preparing of such authority. For this is not something for time. This is something for eternity. This remnant who returned, well, we said something about it on Thursday. It cost them everything, a penniless, weak, poor, small remnant. They returned mostly on foot. And what did they come to? A devastated land. A temple which had been razed to the ground. A city which had been destroyed. A whole land depopulated. And those that were living there were a mixed multitude. Oh, what problems these people had. If you want to become as the signet ring of God, you have got to be prepared to be part of such a remnant. It is one of the ways God tests us out as to priorities, as to whether we can settle in Babylon and stay in this whole crazy mixed up thing we call Christendom, or whether we're going to go right on with the Lord. If we go right on with the Lord, if we are given to God for the rebuilding and recovery of his house, of his dwelling place, it's going to cost us everything. We've got to be people of vision. And no people can exercise divine authority who have not got vision. We've got to be people of faith. No people can exercise divine authority apart from faith. And we've got to be people of determination, patience, or, as so sometimes put in your modern versions in the New Testament, steadfast endurance. No person will ever come through in this school for divine authority who has not patiently endured. By faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Why is there a need to return? Many of us might ask, why is there a need to be built together? Why is there a need to submit to discipline? Why is there a need for us to contribute spiritually as well as in other ways to the building of the house of God? Why? Can't we get along? After all, we can still be Christians and not come together. We can still read our Bibles and not fellowship together. We can still pray at home and not have to pray together. Of course you can. The Lord bless you. Don't feel the least bit condemned. God will bless you if you want to be a little solitary unit. Go and shut yourself away. You'll have plenty of problems as a result of being out on your own. But God will bless you. He won't leave you. You may suffer a lot. You may grow cold. But God will bless you. But you will never, not for a moment, be in his government. And for all eternity, you will have to remember that you chose that way. That is what rewards are all about in Scripture. And God gives you no help. Indeed, I'm sorry to say it, but sometimes the Lord does quite the opposite. He quite allows us to go the other way and gives us problems which we can... So problems can only do one of two things to you. They can either make you, give you an excuse for not going on with the Lord, or they give you the dynamic for going on. And that's why the Lord sometimes gives us a problem, because he says, now I'm going to sort this person out. Absolute sort. Now here's a problem. Now you say, oh, how terrible of the Lord. How absolutely wicked. How could he do such a thing as this to me? This is too much for me. It isn't too much for you. For the Lord never gives anybody anything too much for them. He knows exactly what you're capable of. And so he gives you a problem and says, no, we'll see what happens here. And so collapses in a heap. And if one day you have an argument with the Lord will say to you, but how can you reign? You got a problem. And what did you do? You made that problem an excuse. For not going on, for an argument with me, for all the time having issues with me.
You see, we're in a training school, and the whole point of our being built together is not that we might sort of have difficulties with one another. Some people seem to think the Lord just loves this kind of thing. He shoves us all together and says, oh, I'm having such a wonderful time. I've put so-and-so and so-and-so together in the same company, and they just can't get on. And I've put so-and-so together in this work, and, oh, it's just wonderful, wonderful. The Lord's not like that at all. The Lord doesn't have great glee in us having problems with one another and collisions and all the rest of it and all the things that make for our difficulties. But the point is this, the Lord knows full well that no one's going to come to the place of divine government, no one's going to come to the throne who cannot overcome. And that's why these things come to us and why we've got to be built together, because it's all to do with human beings, isn't it? When we really look at it, there are two or three things that come out. First of all, it's to do with truth. And all the time you'll find God is testing you on the matter of truth. Are you going to compromise or not? And all the way through, it's truth, truth, truth. Are you going to compromise or not? Are you going to obey the truth or not? Are you going to make an excuse about this and disobey me, the truth, or not? When we obey the truth, divine authority. And then it comes down to human beings. The whole matter is human. No one can rule without human beings. We're not going to sit in some great electronic sort of setup, you know, sort of there one day forever and ever, sort of pressing this button and that button and the other and seeing little lights buzz and noises come and sort of say, well, Lord, it's all done. The whole matter of the kingdom is relationship. And so we have to learn this whole matter of relationships. That's why the Lord does some extraordinary things with us. So much conflict, so much problem, so much difficulty that you would not have if you stayed in Babylon, kind of comfortable exile. But if you go back to the city and back to the rebuilding of the house of God, you open yourself up to difficulties and problems that you wouldn't have had any other way. And why is it all? For the producing of spiritual character and maturity. People who can reign. God does it by producing gold. Jesus said to the church at Laodicea, and if anyone wants a word of comfort, here it is. He took the church, which is the most hopeless in many ways, the Laodicean church, and this is what he said. I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined in the fire, that thou mightest become rich. And then he said this, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit down with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his. Gold. Zechariah 4 says of the two anointed ones, the olive branches, that they poured gold out of themselves into the rebuilding work. The rebuilding work was going on. There was a great mountain before it, but it says, before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. And the top stone shall be brought forth with shouts of grace, grace unto it. But what were these two branches? They were anointed human beings, anointed with the Spirit of God. And they were pouring gold. Now, in your modern version, it says golden oil. And I think in some of the older versions, they've supplied the word oil because they couldn't understand the Hebrew, which simply meant, said, they emptied gold out of themselves. But the gold is the thing they emptied out. Have you ever heard of anything like it? It has significance because these anointed ones were contributing gold and gold and more gold into this building. It was the divine character of Christ they were giving. Are you? If you're going to contribute the divine character of Christ, you must receive it. You must become a partaker of it. Then you can give and give and receive more and give and receive more and give. Freely ye have received, freely give. And discipline. Subjecting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. What a difficult thing that is, really being subject one to another, knowing true discipline. That's not an easy thing for any of us. And we're not living in days of discipline either. But we need such discipline. Don't think it's heavy-handed. Sometimes it's just the whole question of being bound together, of walking in the light, of really seeking to be honest in our dealings with the Lord and with one another. All these things all come into it. Discipline, fellowship, all these lessons out of which divine authority comes. And the cross, can anyone ever come to the throne who hasn't laid down his life? If you're not prepared to lay down your life for others, you'll never come to the throne. God's not going to have people on the throne sort of saying, you know, I really am something. Lots of little autocrats, all sort of exercising divine authority. What a kingdom it'll be. Never. Everyone in any position of authority in the kingdom of God will have the same character as their Lord. They will reflect and manifest the same character. It's all for others. It's all for others. I'm here to serve the others. I'm here for the good of the others. That's why the Holy Spirit must come upon us to enable us to be such. May the Lord help us, and may this mean something to every one of us. Give us a key to an understanding of where we are. For surely we are seeing this overthrowing, the commencement of this overthrowing. It will grow and it will grow and it will grow till finally Antichrist emerges. That iron man who will rule the world. But he will be slain by the breath of our Lord's mouth. And in the end, all false authority will disappear forever. And then the Lord says, in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, I will take thee and make thee as a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. Shall we pray? Oh, dear Lord, may we really see this matter. And may we be prepared, Lord, in our hearts to commit ourselves to thee, that thou mightest get on with this work of producing and preparing such authority, Lord. Dear Lord, may we be as that signet ring in the day that you are going to do all this we've been talking about. That day, Lord, when everything that's false will be finally overthrown. Oh, in that day, may it be, Lord, that there is a revelation of that hidden work of thine in preparing men and women for divine government, for thy throne, Lord, that we might reign with Christ forever. We pray together, Lord, use this time to great and eternal value in every life. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.